Welcome to Ambleside Flourish, brought to you by Ambleside Schools International. This is our special series, Ambleside Moments, with Mary Ellen St. Cyr, founder of Ambleside School of Fredericksburg, Ambleside Homeschool, Ambleside Schools International, and contributing author of When Children Love to Learn.
Expectations for children as persons. As children look to the trusted adults to orient them into this world, expectations matter the most when they come from these adults who play a consistent role in their lives, such as parents, grandparents, aunts and uncles, and educators. These expectations have the effect of a self-fulfilling prophecy. Children believe what we believe about them, spoken and unspoken. Hopefully, we've all had a few persons along the way who believed in us as persons, that we have a contribution to make in this world in which we live, to make use of our lives and our duty towards God, ourselves, and others. Beginning in 1963, researchers Rosenthal and Jacobson began to look deeply at these two-party interactions of teachers, parents, coaches, doctors, and counselors, and the expectations they held for persons in their trust in areas of education, sports, physical, and mental health. It is what is known as the Pygmalion effect. The Pygmalion effect is the phenomenon whereby others' expectations of a particular person or group affect the person's performance. The effect is named after a legendary figure in ancient Greece, Pygmalion, a Greek sculptor in Ovid's Metamorphoses, who carved a woman out of ivory. Because of the statue's beauty and realistic nature, Pygmalion could never love another woman and fell in love with it. After offerings to the god of love, Aphrodite, he kissed the statue and his wish was granted. The statue was changed into a woman. The Pygmalion effect was also seen between a PhD professor and a janitor. James Sweeney taught industrial management and psychiatry at Tulane University and was responsible for the Biomedical Computer Center. Another employee at the computer center, George Johnson, was a poorly educated janitor. Sweeney saw potential in George, offered to teach him the knowledge and skills to operate a computer. In the morning, George swept and cleaned, and in the afternoon, he learned about computers. This was 1964. Word circulated that George was learning to be a computer operator. Didn't someone who worked on computers have to have a college degree and a high IQ? Johnson was asked to take the IQ test, and he failed miserably. Sweeney went to the administration and said, "No Johnson, no Sweeney." Both stayed, and Johnson ran the computer center and trained new employees using the main computer several years later. The Pygmalion effect was also seen between teachers and their students. Teachers were told that their students were given a fancy IQ test from Harvard, and it revealed something remarkable. Small groups of children in each classroom were poised to bloom academically. At the end of the year, the teachers were told the truth. The bloomers had been chosen at random. It was the teacher's belief in their pupils' potential, not any innate advantage, that spurred the students to achieve. Charlotte Mason said, "We depreciate children, even though most parents and teachers would lay down their lives for their charges with amazing devotion. We have been so long taught to regard children as products of education and environment that we fail to realize from the very first they are persons." All measurement is limiting to the degree of the measure. Why do we measure? In many ways, we measure because of our own sloth or unreasonable pity for the child. We as parents and teachers do not have to work so hard if we believe the child is incapable of growth or change. To expect growth, both the beliefs and behavior of the parent and teacher have to change, and with this change comes work in many directions. We'll talk about this later. But first, it is essential to recover a vision for our children, to see them as human beings with potential and possibility for growth and change in all varied dimensions. Look at the work of the students at any Ambleside school. There is beauty, order, and the demonstration of full effort. Each student is expected to follow the instructions, put forth their full effort, and work to completion. The teacher does not automatically assume students come to the classroom with these skills. She begins with instruction, a step-by-step plan on how to proceed, which every imperative is met with oversight by the teacher. She does not leave them to their nature. She brings them up, step by step, and there exemplifies the self-fulfilling prophecy, good work for its own sake, not for a grade or a prize. I had the privilege of being in a geography class with a young teacher who is both in authority and under authority. She instructed her students to ready themselves for geography. Out came their maps, their colored pencils, their rulers, their practice dry erase sheets. Everything had a place, the dry erase sheet in the middle, to the right a pencil and marker, above the sheet the colored pencils, and to the left the ruler. It was orderly, and one imperative met the desired results. They did not come with these skills of order in this exacting way. They were instructed and have responded with promptness. The expectations were given, and each student is expected to work with full effort, from being ready with supplies to learning countries, cities, and geographical features. The self-fulfilling prophecy is in effect. Students are working towards the expectation, not to the tendencies of their nature. Some of you might be thinking, you have already blown it. You've said and believed some limiting descriptions of your child or some students. Sin is a great leveler, and we have all gotten it wrong in some way with some child at some time. As a young teacher, I treated children as products in many ways because of my ignorance. I did not know another way. This was the way I was schooled, and the system called for this behavior. Cajole children through rewards, because nobody would work for the sake of work itself, and so this is what I did for years. The good news is the gospel. We have a Redeemer, and He is here to restore and reform that which is lost, and we can be a part of this work of redemption in unison with His Spirit. Begin now with thinking differently about the persons before you, as James Sweeney and Charlotte Mason did. All persons exceed our power of measurement. Think about coming between each child in the weakness. How can I communicate expectation? What does a child need to know to grow? How can I support? We will close with the wisdom of Charlotte Mason. Now, one of the secrets of power in dealing with our fellow beings is to understand that human nature does that which it is expected to do and is that which it is expected to be. We do not mean believe to do and to be. Expectation strikes another chord. The chord of I am, I can, I ought, which must vibrate in every human breast, for 'tis our nature to. The capable, dependable men and women whom we all know were reared upon this principle.
Ambleside Schools International fosters an educational renewal based upon the pedagogical insights of British educator Charlotte Mason. Serving an international community of parents, teachers, and schools, Ambleside makes a living education accessible to all. For additional information regarding Ambleside Schools International and training opportunities for principals, teachers, and parents, please visit our website at ambleside schools.com.